Thank you. Good to have you here this morning. We're going to share in communion this morning. Quit talking, John. That's impossible. No. Good to have you here this morning. I noticed that slide. I don't know if you can put that up for us again of Mike Hendricks and his wife Katie and the family. They have been a special prayer project of ours, and I don't know if you followed this, but Mike collapsed, 6 weeks ago now, right? Six or 7 weeks ago. And Mike and Katie, of course, are Fred and Karen's niece and by marriage nephew. And it's been a long story. He had a heart issue, and they had to do open heart surgery on him that took like 12 hours. It was longer than that, I think, really. But it was just amazing. And he has made a spectacular comeback. He's kind of seeing double. His vision's not right yet. And, of course, I guess that's to be expected after everything he's gone through. But continue to pray for Mike and Katie and their family. Just a precious story. They love the Lord and have seen God just do a mighty miracle in Mike's life. So continue to pray for them and hold them up. We want to share in communion this morning, and we invite you to partake in communion with us. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's only the prerequisite that we have for communion here at Stutz. We invite you to partake with us. So if Fred and Chris would come. And we got these new. Are they all new, or do we have some of them old ones still?
He's new. We're all new now.
Old ones are gone.
These are just as slick as they can be, these things. I can even do this. He makes all things new. That's right. I don't think he made them, but we appreciate whoever did anyway. At least I don't have to pretend to be taking communion with you. I can really take communion. A couple of times I had to pretend because I couldn't get them open. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And you know, this has really special significance, the song that the team led us in. He takes the pieces, doesn't he, of our lives, and he puts them together in such a way that they become meaningful. They can become meaningful if we allow that brokenness, that weakness. You know, the Apostle Paul says, "In my weakness am I made strong." Why is that true? Well, it's true because in and of ourselves, we're so weak, we don't amount to much. As we recognize that weakness and the fact that he puts the pieces together, and people around us can see that it's not because of us, it's because of him putting the pieces together. So we give glory to him, and we thank him this morning that he was broken. He was broken that we can be whole. So we celebrate that. Father, we thank you that Jesus was willing to be broken for us. His physical body was broken that we might have healing and that we might be put together in a way by the power of your Holy Spirit that gives true meaning to life. So we give you praise now in Jesus' name as we partake. Amen. Let's partake together. Then he took the cup and he turned it upside down. No. And he opened it without spilling it. And he said, This is my blood given for you, the New Testament. We can go on that, but it's the blood that cleanses us from all sin, from all unrighteousness, and in his sight makes us pure and acceptable and holy unto him. Let's give thanks and partake. Father, we thank you that Jesus was not only broken, his blood was shed for the remission of sin. And we thank you, God, by his stripes are we healed and we're made whole eternally in your sight. So we give you praise as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so that picture of being made whole because somebody has died, that makes no sense at all. When somebody that you love dies, what's that do to you? Tears you apart, doesn't it? Doesn't make you whole. But that's a picture of how strange and how unearthly God's ways are compared to ours. Scripture tells us his ways are not our ways. So when we try to come to an understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, and what he's done our way, it makes no sense at all. That somebody would die a horrible death on the cross would in any way help anyone. But the opposite is the truth in God's way of looking at it. So we celebrate that this morning. And this morning, I'd like us to look at Satan's plan of defeat for God's plan, because Satan is and always has been against everything that God could ever do or would ever do. So just like communion, it makes no earthly sense that a crucified, broken, bleeding man would in any way have any meaning or any purpose for your life. And that's what Satan would have you to believe. But of course, that's not what God would have us to believe, and so we don't believe it. We've been looking at this passage, and maybe you're getting tired of it. We pray it, the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This morning, I would like us to take a closer look at your will be done. Your will be done. Matthew 28:19-20, we could say that his will is this: therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, there are four very important phrases here, and I mean the whole passage is very special, but out of the four, three of these describe tasks for us as Jesus followers to engage in. Make disciples, baptizing, and teaching. Those are three tasks that this Great Commission, as it's known, describe that followers of Jesus are to be involved in. Okay? Make disciples, baptizing, and teaching. There's one phrase that describes Jesus' task, and that is, I am with you always. Okay? Now, tasks are important, aren't they? Tasks are very important. But tasks are important because of what? You tell your kids, you need to keep your bedroom clean. Okay? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Would you say that these two passages of Scripture, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, and the Great Commission, go therefore into all the world, teaching and baptizing people, would you say that those two phrases or those two passages of Scripture encompass God's vision and mission for his followers? As a matter of fact, a lot of vision statements, and we've been talking about vision statements, a lot of churches adopt the Great Commission as their vision statement. And even our church, as you look at the mission statement and you read it on Sunday morning, it encompasses these thoughts very much, going into all the world and making disciples and baptizing them and teaching them. So would we all agree that God's mission and vision for his followers basically are encompassed in the Lord's Prayer and the Great Commission? Yes? I think we probably would, at least to some degree. With all the talk about a vision statement, what is it? Have you ever looked up a definition? Well, I did, and I've looked it up many times. And with all of the definitions, this is the one that makes most sense to me. A short statement that describes goals and ambitions for the future in light of core values. Okay? So would we say that the Lord's Prayer and the Great Commission would be short statements that describes God's goals and God's ambitions in light of core values? Yeah, we probably would. God's goals and ambitions are what? Thy will be done on earth, make disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them to obey. If we do this, then we get the green light from God. And when we get to St. Peter and the pearly gates, he lets us in, right? You can tell I'm leading up to something that is, I think, important and is true. But in Matthew 28, verse 19, there is a word that is often overlooked. And it's what Jesus said, go therefore. Someone told me years ago at Moody Bible Institute, and I never forgot it, if you see a therefore in the Bible, it's there for a reason. Okay? If you see a therefore in the Bible, it's there for a reason. Okay? Now, if we look at the therefore, as Jesus is talking to his disciples, will usually have to look back as to what was said, okay? If you say to your kids, I want you to clean your bedroom and I want you to make it look decent, why is that important? I can remember my wife saying to our children, you know, we need to keep this place looking halfway decent because your dad and many friends worked very hard to build this house. Therefore, clean your bedroom. Therefores are really important. Really important. Because when we lose the therefore, we can still do the tasks, but we really don't realize why we're doing the tasks. And the therefores is the reason that we do the task. Does that make sense? As I was thinking the last couple of weeks about this sermon, I couldn't help but think of these lights. And back in 1979, which seems like an eternity ago, I can remember the tables that were set up right about here, where Sandy and Chris and Roberta, where you're sitting. And the women who were sitting at those tables with the glass and the, they had glass, all different colors of glass, all broken up in pieces, some big pieces, some little pieces. And then they had this copper that they would wrap around these pieces of glass. And then these hot soldering irons, and they would lead that stuff with solder all together. Looked at the tools that they had and what was on that table, and I can remember the tools they had. Of course, there was the glass, all the different colors. There was the copper, which was all the same color. There was the solder or the lead that they used. You know what else was there? A hammer. You know what the hammer was for? Breaking the glass. They would put their hands almost over it and crack it with a hammer, because a lot of those pieces, as you look at them, are very small. And they'd have to break the glass and look at the glass after it was broke and pick it up and then mold it and place it on the picture in the way that they wanted it to be. And I can remember when Joanne Davis and Marilyn Zylstra were talking about how this stuff goes together. And I remember thinking, give me a tuba four. You know, I don't want anything to do with that. I'll build the walls and I'll help, you know, with stuff I know how to do, but I'm not doing that. I just overwhelmed with the thought of what they were thinking of doing. And they had it all sketched out, how it was supposed to look, all these pictures. And I thought, there is no way that that's me. But I would see all those women, Becky Morse and Irene Shepherd and Donna Seaman, Laura Garber, all those people together doing that. And they would work a whole night and not get one panel done. I mean, you know, five or six women all working together for 4 or 5 hours and not get one of those panels done. But they just kept at it. They just kept going and going and going and going until they got it done. Now, we can say to someone who's in here, you know, cleaning, you know, it's important to dust those pictures on those lights to keep them clean. But likely to that person doing the dusting, it's just a chore that needs to be repeated and redone. You know why? Because likely that person, and maybe not so much right now as it will be in 20 or 30 or 50 more years, it's likely that that person doesn't understand the therefore. You see, to me, when I look at those things, I'm amazed because not of the beauty of the pictures, although they're beautiful. I'm amazed because of the therefore, because of the commitment and the love and the dedication that those represent to me personally. That's the therefore. Keep them clean and dusted and well lit because of the therefore. You see what I mean? Go into all the world and make disciples and teach. Not because these are tasks that God told you to do, but because of the therefore. And what was the therefore? Think of what happened in the verses prior to this. What happened in the first part of chapter 28? This was when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And it was empty. There wasn't anybody there. And they came running to the disciples. Right? So the disciples, who Jesus says in this passage that we're looking at, go into all the world and make disciples. It was in light of what had happened, just like all of these broken pieces in these lights. They're here and they're a beautiful picture. But if we don't understand the therefore, what happened as these people were putting together all those broken pieces, then it's apt to just become a task for keeping the things clean. Just like it's just a task for the kids to keep their bedrooms clean. But it's not for mom and dad, because mom and dad remembered all the people who helped build the house. You see the difference? If we don't understand the therefore, then it just becomes a task. When Jesus says, all authority is given to me on heaven and on earth, therefore, what is this authority? The word authority, in my thinking, is not a good word. Authority, we think of dictators too often when we think of authority. That's not what Jesus, I don't believe, had in mind when he said, all authority is given to me. I think what he had in mind was, yes, the power of the resurrection. That's authority. Why is that authority? Because he has power over death itself. That's authority. But in that authority, there's this sense of awe. Do you get it? The sense of awe and the sense of worship. Who is this God? Who is this Jesus that has walked among us and hasn't seen us as broken people, who are useless. But he sees us as people who are broken, yes, but if they're willing to be put together in such a way that they can be used and they can be a glory to God in and of themselves. Earlier in this passage, and we looked at that last week, Jesus, as he was praying to the Father, he said, and these are those who have believed. Remember? These are those who have believed that I am praying for. But then he went on to say, but some doubted. Some doubted. You ever doubt? He didn't say they were useless because they doubted. He was just describing what he saw. Again, these disciples had seen the resurrection, the power of Almighty God. Some believed. We're following this Jesus, who is an awesome, awesome God. So before we determine vision as followers of Jesus' followers, it's essential that we understand Jesus' vision and his desire for us. Yeah, boiled down, it is the Great Commission. So can we accurately state that this passage in Matthew 10 and Matthew 28 are God's goals for his followers? What else needs to be included to understand his vision or his core values? Because the core values are in the therefore. Do you see it? The core values are not in going and making disciples. Are they important? Yes, they're tasks. They're keeping your room clean. But the therefore is what all the tasks are based on. Get it? The therefore includes the power, the authority that God has given to us. It's not going to happen. Disciples are not going to be made, they're not going to be baptized, and they're not going to be truly taught by you. It's only going to happen as the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God are able to speak through you and become a beautiful story in the life of those followers. Again, just as you look at those lights and you see the beauty of the broken pieces, I can tell you, looking at the table with the hammer and all the broken pieces of glass, to think they could be put together to be a beautiful thing like Jesus knocking at the door, you know, is something unimaginable to me. I couldn't even conceive it. But an artist can. And that's just a small picture of the fact that God is the ultimate artist of the universe. He's the one that put the stars up there. He's the one that put the planets there. He's the one that grows the tomatoes and makes them ripe. Right, Roberta? Or the potatoes? I appreciated so much going up to Todd and Roberta's. And about every other phrase out of Todd's mouth and Roberta's was, this is a God thing. You know, we plant it, we water it, but God does the rest. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And you see, that's the therefore.
If you don't get the therefore, it's just a task. Making disciples becomes how many? Okay? Now, is making disciples important? Absolutely. But you see, our relationship with Almighty God is the reason we do it. If it's not, it's meat and drink. Dennis is going to talk about meat and drink next week. But we got to get the therefore. And once we get the therefore, the rest comes into focus in a beautiful picture. A beautiful picture, like you see up there. So Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will, not my will, his will. Going and making disciples, those are all important. They really are important. I got to wind this up. We're not going to get to that last illustration, but I hope you catch a vision of what I'm trying to say. If vision isn't born out of a relationship with Almighty God, it is nothing. It is nothing. And the disciples understood that when Jesus said, therefore, go. Because all authority in heaven and on earth, the therefore was that authority. It began in the Garden of Eden when God said, after creating man, he said, I've created you to have dominion, authority. Same word in the Greek. Same word. Over all mankind, over all of creation, you are to have dominion. It means loving relationship. That's God's authority. That's how different God's authority is from Satan. Satan's authority is a Putin, is a Hitler, is a person who is only there for his own glory and his own power. That's what Satan is. He's only there for his own glory and his own power to exercise dominance, not dominion. Dominion means loving care for. That's what God said. Man's task was to have loving care for this world. How do you think we're doing? Loving care for. How much of that do you see? Not much, do we? I hope and we pray that you see it in your own families, because that's where it should exist first. That's why the Apostle Paul says, if a man doesn't have his own family under loving control, how can he lead in the church? When we understand things from God's point of view, the therefore means everything. Without it, all we have is a bunch of tasks. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that your vision is totally accompanied by your authority, your relationship with us and with the world. God, help us. Help us as we think of vision and where you would have us to go as a congregation, to first stand and set and bow and kneel before an awesome God who is willing to take our weakness and our brokenness and put it together in such a meaningful way that the world around us will be amazed. And Father, that's what we desire, to be used, to be infilled by your Holy Spirit in such a powerful way that, yes, we can be making disciples, we can be baptizing, and we can be teaching, but it's not in our power or our authority. It's all in yours. We give you praise in the mighty, precious name of Jesus now. Amen.